As someone pointed out with that question, the point of it is to remind us to keep looking ahead and spend less time looking back, as there is so much ahead of us. And this thanks to the Savior who gave up his life for us. The Savior whose birth we celebrate. A Savior who lived among us for a time so that we could live with him forever. Advent helps us move forward, keeping our eyes focused and fixed on the message of Christmas. It is because of that first Christmas we have been given a new identity. We have been given purpose, and we have been given a future. Well, let's move forward with our worship service as we focus in on the word of our Lord, which reminds us of what we have and to keep moving forward. We start with our opening hymn, hymn 23 in the red hymnal. Please stand as we continue on page 3 of the service bulletin. We worship this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil, and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come. Take away the burden of our sins and make us ready for the celebration of your birth, that we may receive you in joy and serve you always.
For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated. First reading for this fourth Sunday in Advent comes to us from the prophet Isaiah, the 7th chapter, reminding us of the fact that God is with us. And so the encouragement to stand firm in the faith. We hear these words: when Ahaz, son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, was king of Judah, King Rezin of Aram and Pekahiah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, marched up to fight against Jerusalem, but they could not overpower it. Now the house of David was told, Aram has allied itself with Ephraim. So the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken, as the trees of the forest are shaken by the wind. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, Go out, you and your son Shear-Jashub, to meet Ahaz at the end of the aqueduct of the upper pool, on the road to the launderer's field. Say to him, Be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid. Do not lose heart because of these two smoldering stubs of firewood, because of the fierce anger of Rezin and Aram, and of the son of Remaliah. Aram, Ephraim, and Remaliah's son have plotted your ruin, saying, Let us invade Judah, let us tear it apart and divide it among ourselves, and make the son of Tabeel king over it. Yet this is what the sovereign Lord says. It will not take place. It will not happen. For the head of Aram is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is only Rezin. Within 65 years, Ephraim will be too shattered to be a people. The head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is only Remaliah's son. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. But Ahaz said, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. Then Isaiah said, Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel, the word of the Lord. Again, a reminder of the fact that God is with us, and because of that fact, we have been given a new identity and a purpose and a beautiful future, one that we can enjoy in part now already. This reminder from Romans 1, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, regarding his son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David, and who through the spirit of holiness was appointed the son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him we receive grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. And you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the word of the Lord. Please stand for the gospel reading. Recorded in the Holy Gospel of St. Matthew, the first chapter, pointing out again the fact that God is with us. Jesus, the sinless one, came to save us who are sinful. We hear this important reminder. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord. Today we join in the Athanasian Creed for our confession of faith, pointing out the work of the Trinity in our salvation and also clarifying the identity of Jesus our Savior. Please take the bold type words. "Whoever wishes to be saved must above all else hold to the true Christian faith.
Whoever does not keep this faith pure in all things will certainly perish forever."
Now this is the true Christian faith.
"We worship one God in three persons, and three persons in one God, without mixing the persons or dividing the divine being."
For each person, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is distinct.
"But the deity of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is one, equal in glory and co-eternal in majesty."
What the Father is, so is the Son, and so is the Holy Spirit. The Father is uncreated, the Son uncreated, the Holy Spirit uncreated. The Father is infinite, the Son infinite, the Holy Spirit infinite. The Father is eternal, the Son eternal, the Holy Spirit eternal.
"Yet they are not three who are eternal, but there is one who is eternal. Just as they are not three who are uncreated, nor three who are infinite, but there is one who is uncreated.
In the same way, the Father is almighty, the Son is almighty, the Holy Spirit is almighty."
"Yes. Yet they are not three who are almighty, but there is one who is almighty."
So the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God.
"Yet they are not three gods, but one God."
So the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord.
"Yet they are not three lords, but one Lord."
For just as Christian truth compels us to confess each person individually to be God and Lord,
so the true Christian faith forbids us to speak of three gods or three lords.
The Father is neither made nor created nor begotten of anyone. The Son is neither made nor created, but is begotten of the Father alone. The Holy Spirit is neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeds from the Father and the Son.
So there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits.
And within this Trinity, none comes before or after, none is greater or inferior.
But all three persons are co-equal and co-eternal.
So that in every way, as stated before, all three persons are to be worshipped as one God, and one God worshipped as three persons.
Whoever wishes to be saved must have this conviction of the Trinity.
It is furthermore necessary for eternal salvation truly to believe that our Lord Jesus Christ also took on human flesh. Now this is the true Christian faith.
We believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, is both God and man.
He is God, eternally begotten from the nature of the Father, and he is man, born in time from the nature of his mother, fully God, fully man, with rational soul and human flesh.
Equal to the Father as to his deity, less than the Father as to his humanity.
And though he is both God and man, Christ is not two persons, but one.
One not by changing the deity into flesh, but by taking the humanity into God.
One indeed not by mixture of the natures, but by unity in one person.
For just as the rational soul and flesh are one human being, so God and man are one Christ.
He suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose the third day from the dead.
He ascended into heaven, he is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, and from there will come to judge the living and the dead.
At his coming, all people will rise with their own bodies to answer for their personal deeds.
Those who have done good will enter eternal life, but those who have done evil will go into eternal fire.
This is the true Christian faith.
Whoever does not faithfully and firmly believe this cannot be saved.
Please be seated. At this time, I'll ask if there are children who want to come forward for a children's devotion. How you guys doing?
Good.
Did you see the rainbow this morning?
No,
I didn't either. I heard there was a beautiful rainbow. You know what? Speaking of a rainbow, that fits with what I want to talk about today and what the scriptures talk about, more importantly, and that is a promise. What promise comes to mind with the rainbow? Remember? Yeah, about the flood, right? God said he would never destroy the world again by such means of water. Speaking of promises, God makes a beautiful promise, and we're here today to prepare our hearts and our minds to celebrate the fulfillment of that promise again. Do you make promises? Do you make promises? Do you know what a promise is? What's a promise that you might make? Can I give you an example? Do you ever promise that you're going to clean up your room? Yes? How are you at keeping that promise? Not so well, right? I'm with you, right? We don't, you know, we make promises all the time to people. I promise to do this, I promise to do that, and sadly, you and I, we break promises. We don't always clean the room like we said we would, or, you know, there are people like after, you know, eighth grade, that's a ways away yet for some of you, you know, they make a promise at their confirmation here in church that they're going to be faithful to the Lord. I promise to be faithful to you, Lord, all the days of my life. Do we keep that promise? No. Sadly, many don't. None of us keep it perfectly. And yet, what has God still done for us? And what does he still do for us when it comes to his promises? He forgives us, and he keeps his promises. And a reminder of the fact that God keeps his promises is right here, right? And there's one behind you, too. And there's one in the lobby. What is this for everybody who can't see it? Yeah, Jesus' birth, right? Jesus in that manger. I'm reminded of that God made a promise. We heard about it in our first reading. God made a promise that God is with us. He's going to send his son. And Jesus came. Christmas, we celebrate that good news that God is with us. Our sins are forgiven. He's given us a new identity. We are his children. And what else has God promised us? Sins forgiven, and what else? Yeah, he died on the cross. And because he died on the cross, what else did he do? After that, he rose again, right? Our second reading talked about the fact that Jesus rose again, the power of the resurrection, another promise fulfilled. So when we think of Christmas, when you wake up on Christmas Day, think again, God is with you. Jesus is among us. He came. He died for our sins. He rose again. And where's he going to take you one day? To heaven. God keeps his promises. And he also promises until we get to heaven that he is going to be with us. Through the hurts of life. Do we ever get hurt? Yes. And also through the good times of life. Do you have good times? Opening Christmas presents, is that a good time? That's a good time, right? God is with us. He keeps his promises. So let's remember that today and every day. Especially as we look forward to celebrating Christmas again. God is with you and me and all of us. Baby Jesus reminds us God keeps his promises. Let's pray about that. Father in heaven, we thank you for making promises with us in mind, and thank you for keeping these promises. The sure fulfillment that you keep these promises is the reason why we are able to celebrate Christmas. You sent Jesus to be our Savior. And because he came as a baby and grew up and died on the cross and rose again, we are assured that through the work of the Holy Spirit, we are your children. And as your children, you are with us always until you take us to heaven. Lord, thank you for keeping your promises. Help us to keep our promises. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming up and enjoy God's promises fulfilled. We'll continue with our next hymn. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours in great abundance, and this is possible from God our Father through our living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We want to focus back in on the second reading for today. So we hear once again these words from Romans chapter 1. To all who are loved by God and called to be his holy people, his saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth, that a meditation of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and the redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose birth we look forward to celebrating once again. I'm looking for the name of an NFL football team. A hint of that name is enclosed in our sermon text. Can you think of which football team I'm looking for? Well, yeah, that's a given. But there's another one. Someone else say it, I think? The Saints, right? Think back. Some of you weren't even born yet. Think back to 1980. What stands out about the NFL football team, the New Orleans Saints? They went 1-15. During that year, knowing that the record was going to go south, a sports writer encouraged the fans to wear brown paper bags over their heads and to change their name from Saints to Aints. Well, fans still went to the game to support their team, and a good number of them did wear brown paper bags over their heads. Some even decorated them with smiley faces or sad faces. But they went to show their support for their team. Well, in time, it turned out pretty well for the New Orleans Saints football team, didn't it? God has called us to be saints. Not fans per se of that football team, which has that name, but rather he has called us to be set apart. He has given us identity in a way like a football jersey identifies the players and the fans who wear those jerseys. Such a calling is meant for us to stand out. Not in an arrogant way. And as God's saints, there is not a time for us to have to wear brown paper bags as a way to hide our identity. As the Saint football fans kept showing up, so we who are called to be God's saints are to keep moving forward in this life, fully aware of what is to come. Will it be worth it? The journey? Yes. Will it be an easy journey? Most likely not. Scripture even reminds us that through many trials and tribulations, we'll have to go through before entering the kingdom of heaven. Yet will it all be worth it in the end? Most definitely. Christmas, then, is an important reminder of what is ours, who we are, and how such is possible. Our scripture readings for today all point out the fact that God is with us. He always has been with us. He always will be with us. Why? Bottom line, it goes back to his grace. It is because of his grace we are called to be his saints, that is, his holy people, people who are to be set apart from living the ways of the world to living God's ways. And so the importance and reason for this season of Advent, to help keep our eyes and our hearts moving forward, looking ahead, pointing out a reminder of why we needed God's grace in our life in the first place. And it's because of that grace which is revealed to us all throughout the year, including Advent and Christmas, It is because of that undeserved love, God's grace, that he did an undeserved act. And that is the sending of his one and only Son to be the Savior of all people. We heard through the scripture readings and we confessed in the Athanasian Creed an important truth about Jesus, which the Apostle Paul reminds us of in our text, the fact that Jesus is true God and true man. Important for Jesus in one person to be both God and man. Man to be born under the requirements of the law as you and I are under the requirements of the law. The difference between Jesus as man and you and me, and this through the conception of the Holy Spirit, is that Jesus is without sin. You and I, we cannot keep the requirements of the law. Even our best efforts, the prophet Isaiah points out, are like filthy rags. But Jesus, the sinless Son of God, was and is able to keep the requirements perfectly in our place. So important for him to be true man, but also true God at the same time to keep those requirements. Important to be true man, to die the death that we deserve because we fall short of those expectations of God. And the wages of sin is death. But Jesus as God, his death is all sufficient, all meritorious. So dear friends, let us never forget, as Christmas reminds us, an important fact about Jesus. He is true God and true man in one person. Necessary so that he could take on our sins, the Apostle Paul reminds us of. And he won. John the Baptist, that great prophet during the season of Advent, reminds us, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus knew why he came, what his purpose was. It was not for himself, but for us. For you and me and all people, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus went willingly to be slaughtered, knowing what was at stake and knowing what the result would be. Our salvation was at stake. Our reconciliation with God was at stake. And the result of his death, sealed when he said, "It is finished." Peace between God and mankind because of his shed blood. Sealed then also through the empty tomb, because he lives, we too shall live. How important this message is as we prepare to celebrate Christmas. You know, are we going to be disappointed come Christmas Day, perhaps? The weather may not be what we want it to be. Maybe company could not come because of the weather. Maybe the gift that we had on the list, we were not able to open up because it was not purchased for us. Will we be disappointed when we have aches and pains on Christmas Day even, or any day? Are there disappointments? Sure. So let us never forget that despite those disappointments, who is still with us and what he has done for us? God is still with us, and he has reconciled us to himself. That's what Christmas is all about. It's not about the earthly disappointments. It's about the fulfillment of God in keeping his promises, looking out for you and me, giving us a new identity, setting us apart to be his people, his saints, his holy ones, that we can live with him now and forever. Without Christmas, we would not have Good Friday, and we would not have Easter, and we would not have heaven to look forward to. So let us not gloss over Christmas. It doesn't end at midnight on December 25th. It continues all life long. And that's what Paul's driving home in our text. Jesus Christ came to be true God and true man, to take on sin and win, and to guarantee our life with him forever. What he did for us with mind, it comes to us through the gospel. The importance of the good news, the means of grace, the gospel and word and sacrament. Who doesn't like good news? Who doesn't like to be not disappointed at Christmas, but surprised or that smile on our face as we knew what that gift was. But hey, we act surprised on Christmas Day. Who doesn't like good news? And who doesn't like to share good news? You and I, we have the best news of all. And what are we not to do with it? We're not to keep it to ourselves, but to share it. God has unwrapped a beautiful gift for us in the gift of his son, Jesus. Because he doesn't want it hidden from the world. He wants the world to see what he has done for the world, what he has for the world. And who does he use to tell the world what he has for them? He uses you and me. The gospel is filled with promises. Promises God has kept already, promises God is keeping currently, and promises that God will yet fulfill. Christmas is a reminder of that fact. That first gospel promise, Genesis 3, what happened to Satan? He lost when Jesus died on that cross and then rose again and ascended back into heaven. John 3:16, we're reminded of God's promise when he says, whoever believes in the Son will be saved. All because of God's undeserved love. And then Luke 2, those beautiful words of the Christmas story, a clear reminder that God is with us, that he keeps his promises, that he wants us to be with him always. We have a message to share with people. A good news message. Your sins, their sins, all people's sins are forgiven. Not something to be glossed over. And so we have been given encouragement and hope. It's not the lights so much, it's not the trees so much that give us that encouragement and hope. It's what they symbolize. The birth of Christ. He who is the light of the world. He who gives us encouragement and hope. And we need that encouragement because he has said we're going to go through those trials and those tribulations. We're going to go through aches and pains. People are going to disappoint us. People are going to hurt us. We're going to ache physically, mentally, even spiritually. And yet we are not without hope and encouragement because God is always with us. God indeed has set us apart through his gospel to no longer live for ourselves, but rather to live for him. The love of Christ compels us to live for him who lived and died and lives again for us. And so he calls us to, as the Apostle Paul says, in obedience to faith, to stand firm in the faith as Ahaz was reminded and the Israelites. To stand firm in the faith. If you don't stand firm, you will fall. So important for us then to stay connected to Jesus through the gospel. We have been set free. To show then an obedience, which is a result from faith. To show that we are no longer living for ourselves, that we are not living the ways of the world, but rather that we are living the ways of God. And his ways are not burdensome. As we know what we have been set apart for and from, and then examine our lives to this point, how have we been doing at showing that we have been set apart to be his saints? How are we doing showing that obedience to faith and that obedience then that results from faith? Thus, the importance and the reason for our confession of sins at the front of the service, and really each and every day. Because as we take a look at our life and what God expects of us, we see that we fall short of such. And sometimes we are, maybe not physically, wearing paper bags over our heads, but there are times when we are ashamed of our God-given identity. In the face, especially of those, family members perhaps, classmates, friends, so-called co-workers, who are very open in their denouncement of Christ and of those who claim to be Christians. Again, not easy to show our identity as a Christian, as one set apart. And so the reason for prayer and the reason to be in the Word. So Lord, give me strength, give me courage to show that I am yours. That I don't need to walk around with a paper bag over my head hiding my God-given identity, but rather that I'm able to go around and show to others what they're missing because they're not identified with Christ. They're missing out on the peace that comes with sins forgiven. They're missing out on the assurance that even the negative things that happen in life do have a purpose for our good. And sadly, they would be missing out on living forever with God. This is why Paul was called to be an apostle, one set apart, chosen by the Lord to go and tell people what they need and why they need it by God's grace. He was a willing servant, not forced. And think of who the apostle Paul was before he was called to be an apostle. Talk about one who truly appreciated the grace of God in his life. Think of you and I, what our life would be without the grace of God in it. Thankfully, we have it. And so let us live our lives in light of it. All to the glory of God. No boasting, as Paul says, for our boast rather is in Christ. Let people then see Jesus, the Christ, in and through you. As the prophets of old spoke about Jesus, the one who was to come, you and I are the prophets of today to let others know about Jesus and all that comes with him. It's a message for both Jews and Gentiles, all nations. And this all because of God's grace, God's riches, at Christ's expense. And the result of that grace? Peace. Knowing that we are with God and that He is with us, more importantly, that our sins are forgiven, that we have a new identity, that we have a purpose in our life, that we have been set apart for Him, and that we have a certain future. Dear friends, no need to be an ain't. Because you are a saint. And so no need to wear a brown paper bag on your head. God is with you, now and always. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank you. We pray. Dear Savior, O rich the gifts you bring, yourself made poor and weak, O love beyond expression that thus can sinners seek. For this, O Lord, will we our joyous tribute bring you, and glad praises sing you, ever grateful we will be. Amen. We continue with the prayer of the church. Eternal Father, throughout the centuries, you repeated and affirmed your promise to send the offspring of the woman to crush the serpent's head. Through your prophets of old, you continually directed the eyes of your people to the advent of their Savior.
We praise you, O Lord, for keeping your promise and sending your Son to destroy the works of the devil.
As we prepare to celebrate the birth of our King, use your mighty word to shatter our pride and to rouse us from spiritual slumber and apathy.
Move us to take to heart the words of John. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near.
You sent your Son to redeem us from sin. Let this good news be our joy and strength. Use it to cheer the lonely, encourage the fearful, and give hope to the despairing. In these days before Christmas, spare us from the stress of deadlines and the frenzy of commercialism.
Fill our lives with the message of your peace and the music of your grace.
Direct our eyes not only to the manger, but also to the skies, where we will see your Son coming again, not as a lowly child, but as the Lord of Lords.
Lift up our hearts in joyful anticipation of that day.
Lord, keep our missionaries across the world safe from present dangers, as the world is hostile toward the message of the gospel, and also toward those who want to offer people what you have for them in this world and for the next. Embolden us as well to keep living and sharing the pure gospel with the same goals in mind. And continue to watch over the coming and going of those able to celebrate another year of grace here on earth. And for those celebrating a wedding anniversary, renew the couple's love for each other as they reflect on the love you have for them. Hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, in your grace, in your power, and in your glory.
Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.
And we also pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. pray. Blessed Lord, you have given us your holy scriptures for our learning. May we so hear them, read, learn, and take them to heart, that being strengthened and comforted by your holy word, we may cling to the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Again, just a special thank you to our small choir. Beautiful job edifying God and also our worship service. So thank you for that beautiful song. And just a reminder to help us grow in that obedience to faith. We have the book of Galatians taking place here in the church proper. And then also we have from the ground up a Bible study especially focused for parenting, grandparenting, raising up the next generation. Taking place in, I think, in the chapel? It's in that building over there, either way. Sunday school today, right, taking place. So keep that in mind in the rooms. And there's a change. Please see the weekly news. There's a change coming up with the start of the calendar year when it comes to Sunday school, where it will meet and how it will be run. In the topic. Opportunity still, if you haven't done so already, to pick up your 2020 thank offering envelopes. Please see them by the information board. Also, grab a 5x7 envelope. In there is your 2020 commitment card for the operating as well as the Not Without Purpose. That helps to a degree in our planning for our ministry financial plan, but more so it's designed to help you in your prayer with God and how examining blessing, how he's blessed you, and how you can respond to support the gospel work. Christmas services coming up Tuesday, Christmas Eve, 5 and 8 o'clock, and then Christmas Day, 10:30. Christmas Day, we'll also be celebrating the Lord's Supper. Mentioned the weekly news before. Please see the weekly news for other events and information going on at St. Mark's that will have a possible impact on you, and how you can help impact your brothers and sisters here at St. Mark's and throughout the community. Before we exit today, we have a special video. Some of you may have seen it. It was sent out by the Wells broadcast by email. It's a special greeting that was put together by a variety of missions across the world, including the U.S., just saying Merry Christmas and thank you to the brothers and sisters who help support the gospel ministry throughout the world. So enjoy that and then take the time to greet one another. Thank you.